how anyone could ever think that all three could be one when there are many things that imply there are certain things that apply to one that cannot, does not, never could, never would apply to the other, how they could be one person. Jesus Christ said, "My Father is greater than I." Then if this other Father is him some way, how could he be greater than himself? I could say I'm smarter than myself. How can I get smarter than myself? How can I have two wills and say, not my will but thine? So Jesus has a will of his own. And the Father has a will of his own. And the Holy Ghost has a will of his own. The Holy Spirit comes and he can leave without asking the Father whether he can leave or not. He reserves that right. If he is in your life and you grieve him to the extent that he leaves you, he doesn't have to ask the Father. He didn't have to go to the Father and say, "Father, I have dealt with these children of Israel, and I have been with them every day, and I have hovered over them, and in all their afflictions, I was afflicted, and I carried them as an eagle would carry her young. But they rebelled, and they vexed me. They rebelled and vexed me, and I'm going to turn against them and fight against them and become their enemy." He didn't have to ask God to do that. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead, and when he reaches the end of the line, God the Father knows he has as much wisdom what to do as he does. The Holy Ghost doesn't have to ask God what wisdom is, because he is wisdom. Neither does Jesus. While Christ was here in this world, he was limited. He was not 100% God in the sense. You say, "Now, wait a minute, Brother Hibbert, wait a minute." He was not. He was 100% God in heaven and not one part of man. But when he came down, he was not entirely 100% God and no part man. He was man very much indeed. God cannot be tempted. God cannot become weary. And God cannot be tempted of evil. Jesus Christ was tempted of evil. He was tried of the devil. He become weary. And you can't kill God. There's no way you can kill God. You cannot hurt God. You cannot stick a pin through him. You cannot make blood come out of him, and you cannot stick a sword through him. They could stick a sword through Jesus. It hurt him just like it hurts me when you stick a sword through me. When they put the crown of thorns on him, you can put it on him now and it wouldn't hurt him. You could run a spear through him and you wouldn't even know it's running through him. He has a glorified body. He's gone back to his position. But while he was here, he was made like and unto the Son of Man. That's the difference. God the Father never did come down and take on the form of man. He stayed up there. He was there all the time. Jesus said, "My Father sent me, and I'm here, and I'm going back to my Father." He's up there now. The little angels behold my Father's face, which is down in Gully Creek somewhere. No. Said, "My Father's up in heaven, and the angels do behold my Father's face, which is in heaven." So he said, "I'm going back to my Father." And what we're saying and mentioning here, that as the Father and the Son work together, God never did come down, and he never did shed his blood and give his life for us. God never did die. Jehovah never has died, but Jesus Christ has died. He went to the cross and he was crucified. So you can't hurt God. You can't make him have pain, but Jesus did have pain. And remember that. That's one thing that makes him different from the Holy Ghost and from God the Father. The Holy Ghost was not crucified for us. The Holy Ghost did not go to the cross. There's an entirely different. It said he declared himself to be the Son of God. He declared himself to be the Son of God with a spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All the time he was here, he was the very Son of God. But at the same time, he was the very Son of Man. Before he came, he was not the Son of Man, no part of man. But after he came, he was part of God, he was part of man. He was on his Father's side, he was the Son of God. On the mother's side, he was the Son of Man. So he's what we call the daysman. It was God's great divine purpose to put one between God and man, one that would go down on his level, understand, and be able to know exactly how to make intercession. Why? Because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now the Bible says there is one God. You say now all the way through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, all said only one God, one God. And yet you say there's three. I didn't say there's three gods. I said there is one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Each one of them are persons. But we serve one God of heaven, which is compiled of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. They each one have their personalities. They each one have their bodies. They each one have their actions. They each one have their spirit. And so the Bible describes each one of them, but you don't serve them as two or three gods. You serve them as the God of heaven. But we must reach the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that to say this. How are they one? When it says one, 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 there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It didn't mean that the man Christ Jesus wasn't God, because he is God. He's God the Father. There's God, he is God the Son, and there is a God the Father. But Jesus is God. And when we often think, when we say God, we think of God the Father. But when you say Holy Spirit, that's God too. He is God, very much God, as much as others. And so there's one God and one mediator between God and man. While he is a mediator. Now, we've never had a record where God the Father was a mediator, one to go between. God the Father comes here and talks to us, and then he goes to Jesus. No, it's God the Father on the end of the line, and Jesus is in the middle. He is between us and God. That's what the Bible teaches. Then we come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access to God by Christ. So it refers to the one God and one mediator between God and man. That means there is one great God of heaven, and as that oneness, as I mentioned the other day, man and wife is not two, they're one. The 12 disciples were not 12. They were one. Yet they had 12 different, maybe wearing apparels, put 12 colored hats on, go 12 different directions, but yet the Bible says they were one. Then he tells the church to be not two, but to be one. And it says, Father, make them one like we're one. You see, so when he made them one, they still held their personalities. Each one had their temperament. Each one had their personalities. And each one had a will. But yet, they were one in spirit, one in mind. And that's the only way that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is referred to as one God, because it says that the Father in heaven, there's three that by record, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Now, we're dealing with the Son. Now, when you turn to the 15th chapter, we're trying to find some different things that apply to Jesus Christ. Let's go to the 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians, and let's read here just a few minutes. In the 15th chapter, where he says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. Let me see which scripture that's in. Oh, yeah, here we are. Now, here it says, oh, yeah, the 24th verse. Those that have your Bibles, you can turn to it. 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians and the 24th verse. It says, then cometh the end. Now, before I read this, I'm going to call your attention to something. In the Old Testament, he says there in the Old Testament, under the sun, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever a scepter of righteousness. That's the Father talking to the Son. Unto the Son, he saith. So in the Old Testament, you see, it tells us there that he had a son. One place Job was talking and said, what's his name? If you know everything, if you're so smart, who made this and who made that and who made the other? Said, what's his name? And what's his son's name? if thou canst tell. You see, because he knew that God the Father had a son. Now, in the Old Testament, it says, under the Son, he saith, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Then in Hebrews, Paul referred to that, and he said, under which of the angels said he at any time? Who's he talking about who said? He wasn't talking about what Jesus said. He wasn't referring to anything Christ said. He was referring to what God the Father said. He said, under which of the angels said he at any time? Like this woman sitting here, she's an angel. Paul said, under which of the angels said he at any time? Come, sit thou at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. He didn't say that to an angel, but it said, under the Son. You see, it was his own Son. He said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When God raised up Jesus from the dead and brought him up out of there and brought him into heaven, where did God put him? The Bible said that he ascended on high and sat down on the left, on the right. If there wasn't more than one sitting up there, you never could put him on the left or right of nobody. I'll sit up here and tell someone to come up and sit on my right hand. But if I, whoo, and I'm gone, and there's nobody up there, you have a job trying to find out how to sit at my right hand if I'm not there. But if I am there, you can very easily sit at my right hand. Now, the Bible tells us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, that he's at the right hand, in Psalms 81, I think it is. It said, he made the son of his right hand strong for himself. Who is the son of his right hand? Who's sitting at his right hand? It's Jesus. I'm talking about your Savior. I'm giving you what the Word says about him. God never did sit where Jesus sits. God sits at the left. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. Now, what does he sit there? God said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Jesus is going to bring all the enemies of God under his feet because God is going to give him power because he gives him all power in heaven and earth. The Bible says so. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Now, one by one, he is to bring all enemies under his feet. Death is to find his way under his feet. Sin is to find its way under his feet. The grave is to find its way under his feet. The devil is to finally find his way under his feet. Every devil and every demon that ever existed must find its way under its feet. Every swearer, every unbeliever, every atheist, every agnostic, every infidel that ever existed has to eventually find itself under his feet. Now, he shall put all things under his feet. And finally, the Father, he waves the signal. And I'll read it right here. And said, Father, it's all finished. And come down, son. Everything looks nice. You say, isn't God down here with the Son when he does that? Mm-mm. No. He's up in heaven. The Bible says he is. When Jerusalem comes down from heaven, you know what it said? It said, I saw the four square city coming down from God to Jesus. That's a home runner. Because where did it come from? It came from God to Jesus. Now, if I say it came from my wife to me, and it came from California, say your wife's in California. Oh, no, she's right here. You just got these saying it come from your wife to you from California. Well, I know it. That's a matter of speech. Well, you're all fouled up on your speech. Go to school. Find out how to talk. Because you said it comes from your wife in California to me. And then you say your wife is here. How can it come from her when she's here? How can the holy city come from God when he's on earth? So Christ is on earth. The Lamb is here. He has made the new earth. The earth is here. The earth moves up. That's the new earth. Not this one. It's the new earth. And it said that he looked around and there was nothing left of the first, and it passed away with a great noise. Said, I looked and I didn't see the first earth, heaven and earth. He said, for they were passed away. And I looked and I saw a new earth and all of its glory and beauty. Said, every good thing that is on the first one is on the second. Said, what scripture is that? 21st chapter of Revelation. I make all things new. Everyone. Don't leave out one. I'm going to have a horse there. So how do you know? Because he put a horse here. He's going to have potatoes there because he put potatoes here. You say, are we going to use potatoes? I don't know whether to use them or not. I may not use them here, but they're here. He put them here. He says, he's going to have roses there. We got them here. He's going to have trees there. We have them here. He said, I'm going to make all things new. I'm going to have a heaven. It's going to be glorified. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to have everything I had in the first one. Said, if you don't believe it, put it down in the book and write, for these words are true and faithful. I said, I'm going to make all things new. So he made an earth. It was beautiful. And I might even go so far as say it's more beautiful than this. There's no taint of sin in it. And when that, now I'm talking about what Jesus did. The Holy Ghost doesn't do this, neither does God the Father. They all correlate and work together, but Christ is the one. He said, sit thou at my right hand until I make all thine enemies thy footstool. So through Christ, he came to redeem us. Through Christ, he established the kingdom. Through Christ, he brought in the church. There was a law that nothing could affect, the law of sin and death. But he came, and through Christ, the laws of the spirit of life in Christ makes me free from the law of sin and death. He went down to the to paradise under the earth, heart of the earth. He brought everyone that had died in the Old Testament. He brought them out and put them up there. Who did it? Not the Holy Ghost, not God the Father. It was Jesus went to the bowels of the earth and went out. Who went to the cross? He did. Who paid for our sins? Who let all of our sins go on him? Not on the Holy Ghost, not on God the Father, on the Son. The sins of the whole world were put upon him, and he staggered under the weight of it as he swept and paid the price, and then said, Father, it's finished. I've done it. And thank God he established a salvation, opened the way that we could have a new birth, and the third member of the Godhead move inside of our being and walk about having the Holy Ghost and being a new creature. Who did it? Holy Spirit giving him grace and moving upon him. God the Father furnishing him grace. But Jesus Christ here in this world, God using him to bring about all of his enemies. And I was his enemy one day at the age of 19, but I threw up the white flag and joined the crowd. And I've never regretted it. So he's going to reign until he puts all enemies under his feet. Not under the Holy Ghost's feet, not under God the Father's feet, under Jesus' feet. And so let me read this and then I'll explain what it means here. Then cometh the end. Now you say, now there's a lot of ends. When the Lord comes and the church leaves, the rapture takes place, that's the end of the church age. Then there's a period of judgment, period of wrath, where Satan takes over supremely, rules for a short period of time. Then comes the earthly kingdom, 1,000 years, a millennial reign. That's 1,000 years. And then there comes an end to that. And then when there comes an end of that, then we have the new earth. Now, what it says, the end. The angel put his foot on the land, one on the sea, raised his hand to heaven, meaning I've got power over land and sea and heaven, the air. Swore that time would be no longer. Meaning the time of God dealing with man is over forever. No prayers will ever be offered. Nobody will ever repent. Nobody can ever adjust anything with God. Nothing can ever be changed. As they are now, so will they be 100 trillion billion years from now. The end of all God's dealing with humanity is over. Then cometh the end. It's finished. I can sit down. Death, do I have to run you down? No, you're under my feet. Where's the devil? Under my feet. I've got you in hell. Where's every demon? Under my feet, you're in hell locked up. Where's every sinner? Under my feet locked up. Where's you blasphemers and you fuss makers? You're under my feet. Where are you that are troublemakers and you that lie and steal and and whoremonger, witchcraft, they're all under my feet. Look around. Is there anything to be brought under? Nothing. Everything is perfect. Look about. Do you find a sinner anywhere? Everyone you go up to and say, who are you? Take a good look. What's that name on my forehead? The Father's name. Said his name should be in the forehead. Said, who are you? I'm a son of God. What else? Period. I'm a son of God. Who are you? I'm a son of God. You go all over that place and millions and millions and millions and millions, and when you check up, you won't find one that doesn't say, I'm a son of God. Why? There is nothing there but sons of God. Bringing many sons into glory. He was the son of God. 100%. No part of man. But the son of God become the son of man, that the son of men could become the sons of God. Then cometh the end. When he, Jesus Christ, should have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father. Sound like got to be someone there with him. Delivered up to God, the kingdom to God, even the Father. Even the Father, Paul put that word even in there, you know. Delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now, God the Father doesn't have a father. No place in the Bible to say it. Neither does Jesus have a son. But the Bible is full of father and son. The Father has a son, and the Son has a father. All through the New Testament says the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the second member of the Godhead. Now, he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. Now, you say, how are you supposed to believe that? Just like it says. He delivers up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he, Jesus Christ, shall have put down all rule, all rule. Got a lot of it today, and a lot of it's wrong. We've got a lot of warp laws in our nation today we're suffering under. That's right. Justice, we wonder where it's at. But he's going to put down all rule and all authority. You know, this world is filled with a lot of authorities, and it's the wrong authority. But he's going to put down all authority and all power. All rule, power, and authority is now placed under him. For he, Jesus Christ, must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. That's why he's called the son of his right hand. Said he's made strong. He made strong the son of his right hand for his own self. I've got the son of my right hand that sits right here by me. I can reach over and touch him. Said, I made him strong for myself. I got a big job for him to do. And that's the reason why it said, if you go out there and say to a devil, come out, he'll say, that's nice sounding. Just keep on talking that way. Boo, you come out. But if you'll say, Jesus says in my name, he never did say you can cast out devils. He said, when you go, I give you power and authority to use my name. And when you say in the name of Jesus, come out. That's right, in my name. And so when we mention his name, they have to come out. For God honors Christ and has given that power. For he must reign till he put all enemies on his feet. Now, the 26th verse. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. Death. I don't even know whether a tree would ever die in heaven or not when this is finally wound up. If it did, it would it'd say it switches gears, or it'd say it puts off its old hull and brings on a new one. They wouldn't call it death. Death is not even going to be heard of. As God lets our body reproduce itself, every 7 years we have a brand new body because it constantly renews. In heaven, who knows? They may do that like up there. We get one crop a year here and do good to do that. Every now and then they fail to even have a crop once a year. Up there they have a crop every month. Every 30 days they have a crop. They gather their crops. They have 12 crops a year. 12 crops a year. And that's coming on. just pretty fast. So here it says, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son, Jesus Christ, also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Who is this that Jesus shall become subject unto? There's no more devils to be cast out. There is no more rascals to be herded up and brought in. There is no more sinful communities that need to be brought down and a revival brought to it. There is no devil running wild that needs to be conquered. There is no leprosy that needs to be healed. There is no cancer that needs to be mollified and done away with. Everything is finished. Then it said, then shall he be subject unto the Father, that God may be all in all. He shall be subject. Who is this that he is to be subject to? While he was here on this earth, he had all power in heaven and in earth. He said, my Father is greater than I. He said if he had all power in heaven and earth, he was greater than the Father. No, he wasn't either, because Pharaoh had all power in Egypt. But he gave Joseph power over everything in Egypt. He said nothing's going to be done nowhere but what Joseph is the doer of the doing. I'll put my ring on your finger and you're boss, you're potentate, you're the leader, and you're the dictator. You tell them, and when you tell them, they don't have to go nowhere else. You're the end of the line. Leave my wife alone. And remember, I'm boss. Who gave him that power? Pharaoh gave him the power. Did he deprive himself from any power when he gave him that power? No. Neither did God the Father deprive himself of any of the power he had when he gave his Son all power in heaven and in earth. So how long has Jesus been around? Well, you find out how long God's been around. That's how long he's been around. You see, when the world was made, Jesus made it. It said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Colossians said all things were made by him, Jesus Christ. And without him, Jesus Christ, was not anything made. That's made. If you see it, he made it. If you smell it and can't see it, he made it. If it's there and it's invisible, he made it. It said that he made all things, whether it be visible or invisible. Principalities and powers, might and dominion, all things were made by him and for him. He is the head over all things to the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Don't sass him. He's a lamb, but one day he'll be the wrath of the lamb. That's right. But to think of how great he could be, all that, when you look out there at those great galaxies and all those great bodies whirling in space, and he made every one of them, and then to think that he's even so tame that he can sit down and put a baby on his lap. And aren't you glad that when nobody else can understand you and you just feel like you can't weep on anybody's shoulder, you go to Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. And then here's what the way it goes. When Christ is there in Revelation, read 21, and he's made the earth is there, made perfect, You say, does he make it right then? Yes, he could make it in 15 minutes if he wanted to. He could make it in a day, make it 2 days, 3 days. It could be that the earth that he's referring to, the new earth, it could be that it's out there in space, just like a little jewel. And when he wants, and he might have been kind of like a hobby fooling around with it for millions of years. I say it might be. I'm not saying it couldn't be. If I said it couldn't be, God said, how come you said it couldn't be? Why couldn't I do that if I wanted to? I say he could. But I'm not saying it does because it doesn't say so. It said it'll be there. I'm there to tell you it's there. Where it come from, how long it take him to make it, doesn't matter a bit in the world. It's made right. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a glorious thing, a little jewel. It's there. And brother, it's plenty big enough. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's just right. There's not going to be anybody added to it. That's it. That's the eternal final family. God took a long, long time to get his perfect family, but he's got it now. You say, how long is it going to be before one of them turns out to be a devil? There'll never be a devil turned out. Well, you say the devil was a great angel, and he was mighty in power, and he fell. Yeah, I know it. But you see, the devil didn't go through the refining that we go through. God throws you in a bullpen down here, and he puts the devil in one corner and puts some brass nooks in his fist, and he takes your right hand and ties it behind you, and he puts you in the other corner, and he says, now look, there he is on earth in a fleshly body. I'm going to furnish you grace, and you knock him out or go to hell. You can't show me where one makes it without overcoming. Overcome who? Overcome the devil. On what? On his territory. With your hands tied. We don't have a glorified body. But brother, when God kisses my life and I'm changed and made likened unto God himself, my hands are untied, I still have God's Holy Spirit in me with a glorified body. He's got it foolproof, brother. There's not going to be no more devils hatched out. So God is not going to let sons get in until they go through the refining. And who but a man like Jesus could think of such? Well, you talk about, they say San Quentin is impregnable. You can't get out. Brother, when God put all the sin and the wickedness in hell, he fixed them where they couldn't get out. And when God got ready to populate heaven with sons of God, he fixed them, brother. He can sit down and relax. Nobody's going to try to take his place. Devil said, I'm going to sin, be like God. God told me to stay here, but I left my own habitation. I got smart. I wanted to decide I'd do something on my own. Why? Because I didn't know anything about hell. I'd never thought about it. Who ever heard of a hell? But God had. God said I'd heard about it. But God has. Now he does all that through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, I could take the miracle. I've been preaching for 6 weeks over there on Jesus, about 30, 45 minutes each morning, and I'm not near through yet. So I don't expect to give you everything here in this morning service. But one of the great peculiarities, one of the great unusual things about Jesus, that's fantastic, you can't fathom with the human mind, is how Almighty God. You say Almighty God refers to God the Father. It refers to God the Father. It refers to God the Son. It refers to God the Holy Ghost. They're all mighty. They have all might. How much might does Jesus have? All. How much the Father? All. How much the Holy Ghost? All. That's right. You can't find a scripture that doesn't say that. The Bible says in Isaiah, he shall be called Wonderful. That's Jesus. Counselor, the mighty God. Not the Father, not the mighty God the Father, but mighty God the Son. Who made the world? He did. Who made the elements? He did. Who made the devil? Who made Lucifer before he fell? He did. Who made every angel? He did. Who made the elephant? He did. Who made the centipede? He did. Almighty. So we find that he is almighty. To come down and to clip his wings, he found himself in the form of a man. And he was made lower than an angel. To think how far you'd have to step down from the office he held to be on the common shoulder of one of his angels that went down the streets of glory. But he made himself lower than angels and was willing to enter into a contract with God the Father that if you will perform a miracle upon the woman, I'll go down and redeem man. The Holy Ghost can't do it, and you can't do it. And we don't have an angel can do it. It falls on me. Someone has got to go down to redeem man. They're lost, and it's going to take blood to redeem them. Angels don't have the rare type of blood. There's no man that has the rare type of blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Life is in the blood, and they're dead. They're separated from God, and I only can go. How are we going to do it? Well, let's think over it. Woman got us in trouble. She's the one to eat the apple first. Not the apple, peach, not, I don't know what it was. Nobody knows. Forget it. Just it was a fruit. But the woman, she let the devil first get in. Then she got the man. So let's let that become a boomerang. Yeah, that's good. That's good thinking. What you have in mind? Since the woman got us in this thing, let's let the woman be used to get us out. Let's do something different. Let's take a virgin, you know, about 16, 18, about 20, say about 18, 20 years old, a good pure virgin. Take her from Israel, from the tribe of David. And go on, that sounds good. And let's take this virgin and let's tell Isaiah to put it in the book that we're going to do it. That behold, I give you a sign. A virgin will conceive and bring forth a son without a husband. Bypass man. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Whoop, watch that. Go on, finish it up. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do this, and then we'll watch. And when we find at the due time that they're to be redeemed, we will. This is the way you can go down there on their level and understand. Understand them. Said we will let the Holy Ghost go down there and tell her that something's going to happen to her. We'll let an angel go down. We'll let Gabriel go down and say to her, thou art highly favored among men. And you're going to conceive and bring forth a son. And she'll say, how can I have a son? I'm not married. Said, well, I know, but the book said it must be a virgin. That which will be born will be the Son of God. Because you won't have an earthly husband. You're going to have a heavenly husband. The seed that produces the life comes from the male, and it will not be from an earthly man. It will be from the heavenly Father, Jehovah God. And here's the way I'm going to do it. I'll tell the angel to instruct her that the Holy Ghost is going to come upon her. And the power of the highest, Jehovah God, shall overshadow her, and by a miraculous act, I will take a living germ from the sperm of Almighty God Jehovah, place it in the active womb of Mary, and let it contact the seed in her ovary, and it will produce a child, and a body will begin to form. And as that body begins to form, it is being formed by the Father that was in glory, and all the blood comes from the male, and all of its blood that's flowing is from Jehovah God, and she is producing the body, and God is producing the blood, and when the baby reaches a certain place, and the Spirit can now enter in, Jesus goes to the Father, gives him a big hug, and said, goodbye, Father. I'm going down, and like a instant bat of an eye, he vanished. He was no longer there. God gave his only begotten son. He's not here. He's on his duty. Worse than going forth to any raging battlefield. He's going to confront devils. He's going to confront slapping hands. They're going to jerk out his beard. They're going to spit on him. They're going to lie on him. They're going to call him a bastard. They're going to call him a bastard. Illegitimate child. They're going to lay him in a manger instead of here, ivory palaces. He'll go down there. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for our sakes he become poor. So all at once Mary felt a jerk in her stomach. At the same time, all women feel life for the first time. And she thought, oh, I have life. That angel said it would be the Son of God. And now she carries a baby in her body. And she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was also with John the Baptist, and she was carrying John the Baptist. She went up to the door and knocked, and she opened the door. And when she opened the door, Mary said, "Hello, Elizabeth." And when she said it, she jerked her hands upward, Elizabeth did, and hollered out. And she said, "Who is this? That the mother of my Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this that the mother of my Lord Jesus Christ should come to me? For the moment I heard the salutation of your voice, the baby in my womb was filled with the Holy Ghost." Oh, what kind of a boy is this going to be? No pink, no girl, it's going to be blue. And then finally one day, that baby boy gave out a squall that it was in a manger. And when it did, God was thrilled just like any dad in a room waiting for the baby to be doctor to come in and say it's a boy or a girl. But he knew what it was going to be this time. He knew it was going to be a boy. And you can imagine God the Father sitting there unmoved. Oh, are you kidding? He said, "Michael, Gabriel, come here. Get all the angels. Go down quickly. Sing the song." And brother, heavens were filled. The elements lit up, and the heavens were filled and brightened up, and the shepherds said, they heard a sound saying, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all men, for unto you this day is a Savior born." That is Jesus. Go down there to Bethlehem, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Should I start now and tell you all about Jesus walking on the water? Devils see him come and scream out. They say, "We know who you are, the Holy One of God." And then people today are wondering, "Well, I believe he was a good man." A good man? Are you kidding? He'd have been the biggest liar that ever walked the face of the earth and the greatest imposter if he hadn't have been who he said he was. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't stand in his face any time he appeared to it. He never attended a funeral. He broke up everyone he came near. Got him out of there shouting. Walked on the waters. The devil feared and trembled. That's the story. A little part of it. So where is he right now? At the right hand of God, making intercession for us. With the promise, I'm going to come back and nobody's going to keep me from doing it. He that shall come will come. He's coming for those that are ready, for those that are washed, for those that are looking for him, for those that are overcoming. But for the rest, he shall come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall come in flaming fire. He, Jesus, shall come in flaming fire. He came as a Savior. Next, he comes as the judge. They gave a story, and I'm through with this. They gave a story in the Reader's Digest not too long ago that describes the birth of Christ. It said this man was atheistic, from an atheistic family, gone to school, and it cultivated it. Married a woman that was converted, turned out to be a Christian. She and her children go to church. Try to get him, never would go. Don't have no time for that foolishness. The very fact, the stupidity of God coming down and becoming man and walking among men. All that's junk. I couldn't believe that. I couldn't believe that. I'm too wise. I'm too smart to believe it. So one day they went, his dead winter up north, and for some reason there was a glaring light that attracted the geese, the ducks it was, and they thought it was the ice was everywhere, and they thought it was water, and in the pitch dark, these ducks came down and landed, and he heard a terrible sound of about 50 ducks out there just running around in front of the garage, and the whole driveway was full. And he knew that it was sub-freezing weather, and he thought his heart was touched, and God just let his heart be touched. He opened up the garage door, great big garage, it was empty, and he was out there just trying his best to get them to go in the garage so they could get out of the freezing cold, and his heart was going out to them, but they had just dodged, and he couldn't get them in, and he sweat and worked and tried, and they wouldn't want to run away. They'd stay where this light was, and they had landed, and he just worked and worked, and finally, in his frustration, trying to get them in, he said, "Dumb things, I wish I was a duck for about 15 minutes. I'd get the whole bunch of you in there." Wish I was a duck for about 15 minutes. I'd get all of you in there. It come to him. How hard has God been trying to keep us out of hell and get us into heaven? And God came down and said, if I could just be man for just a little while, I'd tell him about God and show him the love of God, and I'd lead him on into heaven. He forgot the ducks and went in and fell down and was born again. When the wife came in, he was shouting happy and accepted Jesus. And she said, well, who in the world saved you? How in the world did you get saved? A bunch of ducks came down, landed in the driveway, and turned out to be preachers to him. That was an illustrated sermon. He spoke his own words, if I was only a duck for a little while. Jesus, in all of his greatness, said, if I can go down and be one of them and show them the love of God and give to them the plan of salvation, take their sins upon me, die for them, and come back to heaven and sit at the right hand of God, I believe by that I can get them in. And it says, bringing many sons into glory. He couldn't get them no other way. Let's all stand together right now, raise our hands, and just praise God.